From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Robbie Feinberg with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, August 2nd, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Maine State Police say two young girls who were found dead in an apartment in Mechanic Falls last Saturday were the victims of homicide. They say one girl died from multiple stab wounds. The other died from multiple injuries. An adult woman was also found dead in the apartment. State Police say the cause and manner of her death are pending additional testing, as are the identities of all three individuals. But Mechanic Falls Police Chief Jeffrey Goss issued a press release Thursday saying the two young girls were 7-year-old Hope West and 11-year-old Harmony West, and the adult woman was the girl's mother, 37-year-old Jennifer Barney. Goss said the bodies were discovered after police responded to a report of a U-Haul truck at the apartment that was reported stolen after it hadn't been returned. Neighbors told Maine Public that they hadn't seen the family since mid-July. Another independent has filed enough signatures to qualify for Maine's presidential ballot this November. Philosopher and political activist Cornell West and his running mate Melina Abdullah are running for the White House as part of the Justice for All Party. West's campaign submitted nearly 5,000 signatures from registered Maine voters earlier this week. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s campaign also met the August 1st deadline for independent candidates hoping to appear on the ballot. Under state law, any Maine voter can challenge the validity of those nominating signatures through next Thursday. The Maine Secretary of State's office would then hold a public hearing on the challenge. Residents in South Portland are divided over a proposed 1,000-unit housing project. If approved, it would be built on a 30-acre parcel next to Bug Light and also include retail and commercial businesses, community services, and waterfront open space. But Deborah Vallely, who's lived in the Willard Beach neighborhood for 10 years, says the project would change the character of the neighborhood.
There's plenty of commerce already down there with the marina and the restaurants and, you know, there's a couple of service stations down there. I can't imagine that they would think it would be something that would be feasible.
In a statement posted on Facebook on Friday, city officials say they recognize that the community has strong feelings about the project. Developers are seeking a zoning change, which must go through a public hearing and at least two city council meetings. Conservation advocates are urging support for a federal plan to protect old-growth forests, including thousands of acres in western Maine. The proposal would curb logging of old trees in national forests and encourage more mature forest growth. Matt Cannon, the conservation and energy director for the Sierra Club's Maine chapter, says protecting mature and old-growth forests is important to meet the state's climate change goals.
They're our biggest source of carbon sequestration. They're a huge source of biodiversity. They protect clean water in watersheds, provide recreation and resiliency to climate change.
But opponents of the plan say that new logging limits will make it harder to manage forests and prevent devastating fires. Logging destroys far less old-growth forests than fires, insects, and disease do, according to opponents. The Sierra Club and allied groups want supporters to encourage protections in public comments on the rule. About 46,000 acres of the White Mountain National Forest is in Maine. And federal wildlife officials will begin distributing rabies vaccines across rural Maine next week in hopes of reducing the spread of the virus among raccoons. Beginning on Tuesday, the USDA's Wildlife Services will distribute more than 50,000 oral rabies vaccine baits in northern Franklin and Somerset counties. The following week, baits will be placed around Aroostook and Penobscot counties in towns such as Easton, Mars Hill, and Patton. The baits will be spread by both car and airplane. Agencies have been working for more than two decades to eliminate raccoon rabies in northern Maine. As of late July, 30 animals have tested positive for rabies in 9 Maine counties. The longtime head lifeguard at York Beach is vowing to resign at the end of the summer season unless the town of York takes steps to enforce state restrictions on alcohol use. Local officials say they do keep an eye out for any problems linked to public drinking on the beach, but say it's not a problem that requires more vigorous enforcement. As Nick Song reports, the debate in York highlights the discrepancies in how public drinking laws are enforced along the Northeast Seacoast.
Around 30,000 people visit York Beach each summer. Quebecois surfer Tom Cantine says he comes down here a couple times a year with his family and friends. Although popular, he says the beach is subdued and pretty low-key.
In the fall or spring, it's mostly surfers, so people that are here for the sport and they're not here for the party. And during the summer, it's families and like the crowd you see right now.
The 11 crew members of the York Beach Ocean Rescue are responsible for three beaches. The most popular is Long Sands Beach. Jeffrey Patton has served as head lifeguard for over 30 years, but Patton has submitted a letter of resignation to the town, stating he will not return next summer unless changes are made regarding public drinking enforcement.
What we're trying to do is we're trying to get open drinking suppressed here at York.
Patton says the reason he's speaking out is to protect his lifeguards. He described a water rescue last year where his lieutenant guard was almost knocked off her rescue board by a person whom Patton says was drunk.
If you're waiting for an incident of alcohol, what you're waiting for, one of several things. You're waiting for a drowning, you're waiting for someone passed out on the beach, comatose flat, or you're waiting for a fight. Those things put my lifeguards at risk. And that should be the focus of this issue.
All along the northern New England seacoast, drinking on a public beach is generally against some form of law. But enforcement depends on what state and even what town you're in. In New Hampshire, public drinking is not formally banned, at least on the state level. But if you're caught with alcohol on Rye Beach, just south of Portsmouth, you could get tagged immediately with a $50 fine. Rye Police Deputy Chief Scott Blaisdell says that's because of a strict ordinance passed by the town.
It's a no-tolerance policy. You know, we'd go out there with directed patrols. You know, at times we'll have beach patrols, or other times the duty officers out there will get out there and do it. They happen to see people violating the open container policy, we take action on that.
Maine state law, on the other hand, prohibits drinking in public spaces. But York Police Deputy Chief Stephen Spofford says officers can only issue a citation if the person is within 200 feet of a public sign outlining the law or after the person has been given a warning.
Basically, we tell our officers if they're blatantly, openly drinking and it's obvious, we're going to deal with it. But we're certainly not going down and checking what people have in their cups and stuff like that unless their actions alert us to either they're being disorderly or doing anything like that.
Spofford says the department tries to be proactive by using reserve officers to patrol the sands. But a personnel shortage has meant the department's reserves have been empty the past 2 years. Instead, Spofford says a couple officers on bicycles and in vehicles are dispatched to patrol along the beach's main road. Lifeguards are equipped with radios connected to dispatch, who can quickly summon those patrolling officers to respond to any incidents that take place on the beach. Additionally, Yorktown manager Peter Joseph says York's beaches are mostly used by families, where drinking hasn't proven to be a big problem.
It is a concern, but it's a very low concern compared to a lot of the things that we're seeing just day to day. We're probably seeing more safety violations at the beaches from things like dogs and, you know, trips and falls and traffic safety in the crosswalks.
In the past two summers, Spofford says York PDs received just 3 calls regarding public drinking on the beach, all of which resulted in warnings. Spofford says the department at one time experimented with tighter enforcement for the town office that included checking people's coolers and cups for alcohol. They soon abandoned the practice after getting negative feedback from residents.
They didn't really appreciate a police state on the beach like that while they're with their families enjoying the beach. Quite frankly, it made some of them nervous that there was something going on, why all these officers are down on the beach.
Some beachgoers in York also question whether there's even a problem. One man who asked not to be identified says he's been coming here for 40 years. He's been sober for decades, but he's okay with those at the beach who aren't.
They were selling drugs or using drugs on the beach. That might be a different story, but I don't know. I've been out here for a couple hours on the beach. I haven't seen a problem.
York's head lifeguard, Jeffrey Patton, says the Ocean Rescue Team does not record drinking incidents that take place on the beach. As a result, the evidence that Patton's put forward about the increase in public drinking is anecdotal, based on his expert opinion and various photos he's taken of beachgoers with alcohol. Still, Patton says it's only a matter of time before a lifeguard gets hurt.
It's going to require a recognition, you know? It's like the alcoholic. Before he can go, he's got to realize we got a problem, okay? We're saying you got a problem, and the town is saying we don't have a problem.
In addition to his resignation notice, Patton says his lifeguards plan on sending a letter to York Select Board to request action. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nick Song.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock on Monday morning, we'll talk with experts on how to have more meaningful conversations with nuanced points of view. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.